The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 411. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Folks, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a moment. I hope that you will give me that opportunity, that chance to talk about something that's going on here in Columbus, Ohio, the city that I live in. For 33 years, there has been an independent radio station that is called Columbus, Ohio Home. It's currently called CD92.9, although it's gone by many other names. And unfortunately, the citizens of this fine city learned just the other day that as of January 31st, 2024, after 33 years of being on the air, there will be no more CD92.9. And I know many of you listening outside of Ohio probably don't care or don't understand why this is a big deal. It's a big deal because it was an alternative rock station. I mean, you know, they would play all of the hits from all of the bands that we know, but they also did a great job of introducing new bands to their listeners. I'll tell you right now, I love Fantagram. It's one of my favorite bands. How did I find out about them? CD92.9. And I could sit here for another hour and list all of the bands that I have learned about and all of the concerts that I went that were promoted by CD92.9. I mean, it's all about FCC licensing. That's what the whole problem is. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, it's a part of me that is kind of closing up shop, so to speak. Because when I first moved to Columbus in 1997, I vividly remember doing my morning commute and listening to Brian Phillips and Jody in the mornings. And it always was a great show and there was great music involved. So I think that's going to be sorely missed here in Columbus, Ohio. There's so many memories. As I said, I could spend an hour talking about how great the radio station was. I even got an opportunity one time to be a guest DJ because they would have just regular Joes come in off the street and have an hour of playing some of their favorite songs. So I want to say thank you to CD92.9 for the many years of entertainment and great music and great concerts. It's been a hell of a run. I'm sad to see you go, but I guess you could say that you're going out on top. You know, 33 years is nothing to sneeze at. And Godspeed to all the folks that are affiliated with 92.9 on their new adventures in life. I'm done. I'm going to take the soapbox. I'm going to put it back in the closet. I'm going to take a tissue and dab my eyes because I got a little misty talking about CD92.9. And I'd like to switch gears and talk about my guest for this installment of the PVD Cast. Carissa Grant is a creator of a comic book series called Worthy Chaos. And she has a new book coming out. And by the time that you're hearing this, that Kickstarter is off and running for sure. But Carissa and her partner Jessica have created not just a comic, but they've built a world, a supernatural world where demons and angels battle it out for supremacy. And it's a really cool concept. And as a matter of fact, as you'll hear in our conversation, Carissa and her partner kind of wrote a book. So they already have a lot of issues written because they wrote a book and then was told by an editor, this book, the way that you wrote, is not going to work in prose form. And so they reformatted it for a comic book, and they have just been kicking butt ever since then with getting out issues about once every other month or whatnot. And so Carissa and I are going to sit down. We're going to talk about the history of the project, Worthy Chaos. We're going to talk about the production aspects of it, the Kickstarter for issue number 8. some merch that you can get, all kinds of cool stuff. But before I get to my conversation with Carissa, I need to thank a great sponsor of this podcast. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. Folks, I say it all the time. World's Greatest Comics is a five-star comic book store. And, you know, we talked just, you know, about CD92.9, and that was a very independent radio station. Well, this is an independent comic book store. Jeff and the fine folks put a lot of hard work, effort, and whatnot into creating an awesome shopping experience when you stop by the store. So it doesn't matter if you're looking for graphic novels, if you're looking for single issues, if you're looking for back issues, if you're looking for some cool stuff, like, for an example, retro 1970s and 80s Star Wars action figures. Those are in the front case. But basically, they got everything you need for your fandom. So please stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But you can also check them out online. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with comic creator Carissa Grant. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I am sitting down with Carissa Grant, the woman behind Worthy Chaos Comics. Carissa, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No problem. I have to ask, a name like Worthy Chaos has to have a great origin story behind it.
Yes. Our main character, Serafina, is an angel descendant, and her blood attracts all negative and especially evil creatures to attack her. So she's always being protected or always fighting, and her soulmate is Draven, who's a demon descendant, and he's always getting hurt trying to protect her. She's a fighter, but, you know, he's very protective. So she always feels bad that he has to deal with her, you know, all the problems that she causes. And he always says she's worth it. So she is the Worthy Chaos to him.
Oh, okay. Very nicely done, Carissa. Okay. Okay, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
You know what? While we're talking about your two main characters, let's dive a little bit further into them before we get into the projects and the books and whatnot. So Serafina and Draven, did you have any inspiration that you took from somewhere else when you were building these two characters?
So it wasn't technically inspiration, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer is one of my favorite shows. So that's not why she's blonde. She's blonde because for some reason angels always, I always think are blonde. And she's light and he's dark. But Buffy was a huge, I watched that show. We watch it the whole season every year. And Draven, for those that don't know, is kind of inspired by Eric Draven from The Crow, which is one of my favorite stories of all time. So,
okay, cool. Well, let's talk about your projects coming up. You have one called Worthy Chaos Redemption.
Yeah, it's the main series is Redemption. So it's Worthy Chaos Redemption because Redemption is such a, it was the stupidest title I could have came up with because it was like 1,000 of them. So if someone was to, the best way to find us on Kickstarter is to search Worthy Chaos. We're the only thing that pops up. Do not search Redemption. There'll be like 700. so yeah, it is Worthy Chaos Redemption. And it's a very long series. It's, I'll be completely honest with you, it is 100 issues already written. But series one is 44, so that's a little bit more doable for people. So the series is consisted, series one is consisted of 5 books. And so each book has a different amount of issues. Like book one was 1-7, which is the hardcover that we just released. It covered all of book one. Book two, I actually shortened it to 5 issues, mostly because you're not supposed to have a favorite, but book three is my favorite. So book three is about 12 issues. It's pretty much completely inspired by Resident Evil 2, the original. That's the reason I started writing, was playing that game. So it's all zombies and experimental creatures. Ours are a different kind of virus. There's a little bit uniqueness to it. But yeah, and then we have book four, that's about 15 issues, and book five, that's about 15 issues. So yeah, it's around 44, 45 issues.
But wait a minute. You said just a few moments ago 100 issues?
So there's, we're still writing it.
Okay. Okay.
So right now there's 100 written, but they're different. So it's series one, then series two. So it's different. It's the same characters. It's a continuation. But if I was to, I could make it end there at the end of that series and it would be complete. So if I don't add the epilogue, you know, like for the end of this series, if I don't end, if you don't read the epilogue, you've got a happy-go-lucky story. So if you, I'm going to put a warning that anyone that wants a happy ending, just stop here. if not, you go on to, you know, the next series, which is also five books already written. And then series three, we actually just started. It's about a book in. To explain a little bit about the co-writership, because I get asked this a lot. So I write the story and I write everything Serafina and all the other characters. However, the other main character, Draven, is completely written by my co-writer, Jessica. So everything you read, his thoughts and his, you know, speech and whatever is all Jessica. So it gives the two main characters two completely different personalities. So it makes it a little bit more unique because I don't ever write for Draven and she will never write for Serafina. So It's kind of cool that, you know, you can, I've had people like, they're like, oh, the dialogue's so great. It's like two different characters. Like, yeah, I'm not that good of a writer. She's just, we've got two people. And, Serafina's a lot like me. She talks way more than she thinks. And Draven thinks way more than he talks. He probably says one to two words or one sentence, whereas her bubbles or balloons or whatever, like there's like tons of them. And, but his thoughts, you know, depending on what issue it is, he thinks a lot more. And he's more complex, you know, he's an assassin and they were separated for 10 years at the beginning of this. So there's a 10-year gap and he trained as a deadly assassin and she trained as a supernatural hunter. So they thought the other one was dead for those 10 years. So when they finally met up together, they thought it was a trick. You know, she thought it was demons and he thought it was a dream. And so issue one, when they meet up, my letterer was all upset. He's like, shouldn't they be like kissing and be happy to see each other after 10 years? I was like, no, I'm like, they've been through hell and you know, they're more cold hearted now. Cause they, you know, they thought the love of their life was dead. And, you know, so, and like I said, she thought it was a trick. He thought it was a dream. So it took about an issue before they were like, oh, this is real. This is really happening. And so it's kind of cool to have that. Not only that, 2 seconds later, they're attacked by an entire town of ghosts. So, you know, they didn't exactly have time, even if they were. So yeah, there's a lot that goes on. And I will be completely honest. It is very action-packed and very, very fast-paced. You know, I've only had one person complain. It was another host of the show who read the entire four issues like an hour before the show, and he's like, it's just really fast paced. And I was like, well, it's called chaos, so I'm allowed to do whatever I want. But yeah, it's fast paced. There is character development. It's not like it's nonstop action, but there is nonstop action. There, you know, there's character building and they do obviously talk. But there is a lot of action. They're always fighting something. I wrote this with my co-writer while we were role playing. And role playing, you have to entice the other person to write you back. So it's pretty much all action when you're, you know. So that's why there's so many issues written, because we this was not intentional. We got obsessed with the show, obsessed with the comic, or writing the story, actually. And we wrote it for 3 years. And like I said, we're still writing it. I think she sent me a chapter yesterday and I sent her like two chapters last week. And yeah, I don't think we'll ever stop writing it. So we even said after we die, we'll just be ghostwriters.
So can I ask, when you sit down to map out a chapter or two? Okay, I was going to ask, how's the writing process? Do you just free flow?
Yeah, I literally will sit down and just write. I don't even know what I'm writing half the time until it comes out. And the funny story about it is, we'll talk about like an idea here and there. Generally, we'll have a dream about it and we'll be like, oh, we have to do this. This happened in the dream. And probably two or three of the books are entirely based or started on a dream we had about it. It's usually me. I wake up, I was like, I got a new idea. And sometimes we'll skip around and then we'll connect them and all that. But yeah, there's literally no process. There's no outlining. There's nothing. I've even had a fight with the character in my head over a scene. In book five, I was writing this scene where she walks into a room and it's completely dark and the floor feels weird and she gets these weird pains on her skin. And while I'm writing this, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And I need to start over. And my character in my head's like, nope, keep going. Just keep writing it. And I was like, whatever. So I wrote it and I was like, that was such an awesome, crazy, weird scene. So I sent it to my co-writer and she's like, where did you come up with that? I was like, no idea. She goes, I can't wait to see what happens. Like, me neither. So yeah, half the time we have no idea what we're writing. So it kind of keeps us both surprised.
Does that make it challenging for your artists to kind of map out what you're doing? In you know, again, we all have different styles of how we tackle different subjects, writing or whatnot. So I was just curious, does it cause any type of challenges, extra challenges for your artists?
Because series one, which is the 44, is already written and it's scripted by me. So I think I'm up to script 20. I think I'm up to issue 20, and we're only on, I think he started 11 this week. So he just has a regular script. He doesn't have to deal with my writing. Otherwise, yeah, there'd be some issues. If you had to read my writing, because some do that. A really close friend of mine, Lori Catella, it does Path of the Pale Writer. And she just hands him like what she wrote, and he has to find what panels he's going to use or, you know, whatever. Mine would never survive ever. And I will say, originally when I did the scripts, I had like 6 to 8 panels. However, my artist and I butt heads. Jonas DaCosta, which is an amazing artist, by the way, and phenomenal. I got super lucky when he found me, actually. So this is nothing against him. This was all me. But we butt heads in the beginning for the first issue because I would give him a script and he couldn't fit everything on there because the way he does panel work, he'll turn them into like a multiple panel. So he's got a lot of action. You know, he shows everything. So we butt heads for the whole half of the freaking issue until I was like, I really kind of have to compromise here and let him do his thing. Cause he knows this was his first paid job. But he didn't know what he was doing. So I cut my scripts back to four panels. So he'll turn those four paid panels into like 9 and you'll see like, you know, this really cool panel work. He's an absolute genius. And like I said, it was his first paid job. Now it's his 11th paid job. All the work now too. But yeah, I was his first job and it was my first comic book. So, it was an interesting learning curve. We learned together and he promises to stay the whole time, but I don't know. I might have to lock him up someday. We'll see.
Did you feel like you had a particular style of art? Since we're talking about your artist here, did you have a particular style that you knew you had to have for the book, or were you open to trying different styles?
So I had an image of the characters in my head, and no artist, surprisingly, could figure out what that looked like. So I wanted more of I like the 80s, 90s feel, which is kind of what people say my comic book looks like. And he hit the nail on the head there. But it took me months to find him. I had an original artist for issue one who stole $3,000 from me. And then I spent $2,000 trying to fix it. And I didn't like it. It was a hot mess. And $5,000 got thrown out the window. And I told him to redo it. So he redid one. And it was worth it. It was worth it to lose that artist and the $5,000 to find him, because the second he drew that comic book, the first page that was a taste test, he did it for free. I had like 5 people doing test pages for me, and I told him that if he wants to hand in a free page, I'll look at it first. If he wants to wait till those 5 are done, I'll pay him for a page. He sent one for free, and in 24 hours, he had it pencil inked, colored, and lettered. Wow. And the character, yeah, and it was like 5 panels because I just gave him like, I added a bunch of things to a page just to see how he would do, you know, and it looks phenomenal. And I told everyone else to go away. I paid everyone off and I was like, all right, you're hired, get to work. And he has not stopped since. He is not just a paid artist, I will say. He's part of the team. He gets paid, He loves the characters. I mean, his progression in art, from he always had amazing art, but to see his progression from the first two issues to issue 11 that he's doing now is just phenomenal. You know, he went to school, which I'm pretty sure I paid for. Went to school, learned techniques, and it's just night and day. And he's super fast, which I love, and my wallet does not. But we're releasing issue 8 this month. It would have released probably a couple of days before now. It would January 8th, and issue 12 will probably be done by then, because issue 11 is 5 pages inked in. So so he's fast and high quality, and I'm very lucky, and I'm scared to slow down. Everyone's like, you can slow down. I was like, nope, because one day is going to be super busy, and I'm going to need these issues. So I'll have to make sure to keep it up, because I do eventually want to go monthly, because I could now. I think with the economy and how much everyone, you know, puts into it, I think it would be a little hard for people. So I'm going to stick to every other month for at least next year and see how it goes. But we did 7 campaigns in 2023, and we're doing 6 in 2024. We're doing 5 issues of book 2, which completes that. And then the hardcover for book 2 will be in October. Our very first campaign was Halloween of last year. So we just passed our 1 year. So we like to do the hardcover on the on our anniversary of Halloween. So,
well, and let's talk about the hardcover. You just mentioned it. It was a few weeks ago that the first 7 chapters collected. It's there. Mm-hmm. It was a successful campaign for you in Kickstarter. You also mentioned it's the first book that's available internationally. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, because to me, it was just too hard and too expensive to ship out, you know, issues, you know, single issues. However, now that the hardcover is out, if anyone wants to buy the hardcover and issues, like, because we always have the issues, back issues in the add-ons. So if anyone international does want singles, they could buy the hardcover and add the singles to it, which a few have done. And so our last campaign was the first time we were worldwide. It was pretty successful. And I was really impressed with it. I honestly didn't think that it would sell as much. It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It is beautiful. But I was like, all these people have already bought, you know, these issues. You know, are they going to buy it? But they did. They loved it. And the cover and the back cover are both done by DC artist Ken Hunt, who worked for over a decade in DC. He worked on Batman, Superman, Harley Quinn. The colorist is CC De La Cruz, who is the current colorist of Lady Death Universe, which I don't know if you've ever seen their campaigns. They make like 700,000 on Kickstarter, so a little jealous there. So the coloring is amazing. She's amazing. Ken Hunt's amazing. And I really love these covers. We kind of stepped up our game for covers in book 2 because I got obsessed with the idea of getting as many covers from artists that worked on the comic books that I were inspired by. So this comic book is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Resident Evil, Evil Dead, Silent Hill, Good Omens, everything like that. And so I had to find, you know, artists from there. So I did find Jeremy Rampack did a cover, variant cover for issue 8, which is, I can't even explain to you how phenomenal this cover is. Like, he's one of the most expensive covers I had done at the time. And I already hired him and paid him to do, and he already did it, the cover for the hardcover for book 2, because he's just, I don't know how he does it. He fits an entire world into one page. Like, there's so much going on, and yet it's not cluttered. So I don't know how he does it, but it's phenomenal. And so that's going to be really amazing. I can't wait to see how that does. And I also got for issue 9, Caro Moline, which is the interior artist for Buffy the Vampire Slayer comic book. And then issue 11 is Kevin Sharp, who did the interior colors for Army of Darkness comic book. So we got a bunch of my favorites. I'm still searching for Silent Hill and Supernatural. I found one from Supernatural, and I was really upset because I answered back and they're just like, oh, we're too busy. And I was like, I have like 100 issues. Just put me on some kind of list. So I'm hoping that they will be able to do it eventually. But still looking for Silent Hill. I asked, I think it was Terry Jones, but they never heard back from them. And so, yeah, but I'm hoping eventually, but yeah.
Well, let's talk about that, the issue 8 for book 2, chapter 1, with the Kickstarter. What's some of the perks, some of the stretch goals that's affiliated with the campaign?
So I have been called Merch Queen. That is my new nickname. And it's because I'm obsessed with merch. I love it. And everyone's like, why do you buy so much merch? Because I want it, and selling it to you makes it tax deductible and my life easier. So that is why there's so much. But yes, for book 2, issue 8, we're going to have 3 new plushies. We already have 4, I think. We have a new 2 Anubis, 2 Hellhounds, a Skeleton Bird, Zombie Merman, which has sold out a while ago, and one of our rats, and one of our demons. So the new ones are a Salamander Monster, which starts in book 2. This is everyone's favorite, so I don't know how well it will sell, but everyone seems to want it. We have zombies in working straitjackets. She zombie in a straitjacket, because they are trapped in a haunted, abandoned insane asylum. So there's zombies, there's giant salamanders, there's ghosts. And also, I don't know if this one will be for sale in 8 or not, because he's technically not in there. But we have a vampire chameleon bat, and it winds up being her pet. He's adorable. His name is Chatty, for chameleon and batty put together. Also, he squeaks a lot, so he's Chatty. So the name fit perfectly. So we do have a plushie being made of him. I don't know if I should put it for that one. I'll probably save it for, he comes in issue 10. So definitely be around issue 10.
Where'd you come up with the idea for plushies? Because that's really original.
I was at a Comic-Con, and this woman who does it for me, she's Down Home Textiles. She's on Facebook, and she had the most amazing plushies. And I was like, do you ever do commissions? She's like, no. Why? And I was like, I have a lot of characters. And the first one she did for me was Anubis. And then I was like, well, since you did Anubis, you have to do Serafina and Draven. And she did that. And I was like, well, since you did those, you know, you should do the Hellhound. So she did the Hellhound, Skeleton Bird, Zombie Merman. I had to have them. So yeah, they're very limited. They're handmade. We do a limited number, generally tops 3. You know, I think Anubis was the highest. We did 8. But he's out of production. We have a new Anubis that's coming in. But yeah, so we have plushies. We have 3D printed statues. We have handmade clay statues from an amazing artist. We have gold-plated coins, silver-plated coins, magnets, metal covers. We have embroidered bookmarks. Of course, there's tons of stickers, buttons, pins. So all the fun stuff. But yeah, the plushies are one of our best sellers. If they weren't so expensive, we would sell a ton more, but I don't really make much profit on it. I just like making them. And I have one of each, of course. And I buy one of each for my co-writer. So each of us have at least each one of each one. So, yeah.
So those will be all the things that you can get if you donate to the campaign on Kickstarter. Chapter 1.
Yeah. So I have very simple tiers. And then I have extreme tiers. Like, if you just want to pay $5 and get a PDF of issue 1, you can. If you want to pay $5 and get a PDF of just issue 8, you can. If you want a catch-up tier, it's 20. And then you can get printed of anything. And my lower tiers just have stickers, because some people don't want to have all that stuff. They just want to get it. And that works for me, too. One of my best sellers, besides the plushies, is the metal trading cards. So we do have a lot of the metal trading cards. Every cover is being made into a metal trading card, because I put them up last time. I had them and didn't even think of putting them up. And I put them up in the add-ons, and they sold like in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, they were gone. And now every campaign, I have at least one person saying, oh, I need this trading card. I was like, all right, I'll make a tier for you. So if there is something you want, because I don't have everything in add-ons, there's usually like 20 tiers. So it's a little bit trickier when people are scrolling down. So the add-ons have about 20 tiers, more than that, probably. I think the last one had like 30. So if there's something you don't see, a lot of people have messaged me and say, could you make a tier for this? And I do. I had somebody in the last Kickstarter for the hardcover, she wanted both plushies and a shirt. And I only had them in tiers, and it was like 4 a.m. I was like, yeah, I'll make you a tier. So I made her her own tier of the hardcover, two plushies and a sweatshirt, and she was thrilled. I was thrilled because I got paid. But she's one of my best. I know who's going to get what usually. I have another client or a fan that always gets the wood engraved or laser etched wood print that I do. So I now just order one for him every time to make sure that he has one. I have somebody that always gets the metal trading cards. I have someone that always gets the metal cover. I have someone that always gets a plushie. So I've come to have very loyal clients that are fans. I always say clients because that's I run my own business, and my very first Kickstarter was mostly my clients. So they've heard me talk about it nonstop all day during work. So they were just like, oh, I'll buy it. And none of them read comics before they bought it out of pity, and then they all fell in love with it, and now they buy it every time. So
well, that's good. That's the seal of approval right there.
Yeah, exactly. I had one. I still have the text where she wrote to me and she said, I just read issue 1 7 times. When is issue 2 coming out? And I was like, well, funny story. So she winds up buying it every time. And so it's nice to have my clients and my fans and my friends and family. My mom buys everyone. She does not read them, but she does not like comics. She does not like horror, but she framed the first one. My brother buys every one of them. He has been collecting comics for 40 years. And he actually tried to talk me out of it at first. He's like, oh, you should write novel. You should write it as a novel. And I was like, I say this every time. I'm not a very good writer. I'm an amazing storyteller. And it fit perfectly for comics. I could have never released my, my co-writer could. She's an amazing writer. I'm just an amazing storyteller. So my writing is a little bit more simple than hers.
So is that how you got started in doing indie comics? Was your brother suggested, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't do this? And he was a big fan, or like, how did that happen?
So originally, he got me into comics in the 90s. I read Ghost Rider. Okay. I was very obsessed with Ghost Rider. I did not read mainstream comics after the 90s. They got away from me. I think the second crossover came over, and there was just way too many. It was like a 30 crossover, and I was just a teenager. I'm like, I can't afford that. So I wound up stopping. But when it came time to my story, it's going to sound very biased. It was such an amazing story to me that I did not want to waste it. I also have no talent. So I was like, what a waste of talent. I actually have something. And so we were going to try to see if we could release something in novels. And I was like, it's not, you know, it's written by two people. So it's a chapter written by two different perspectives. Is there something we can do? And the editor's like, you'd have to merge them. And to merge them, we would lose the story. So I didn't want to do that. I'd rather make no money than destroy my story. So I was going to print us our own novels just for me and her. And I was looking for a cover artist to just write what we saw in our heads, you know, just for the cover. But all of the artists that I saw were all very cartoony. So we originally had actors in our heads. So I said to my co-writer, do you want cartoony or should I keep looking for realistic? And she said, I don't mind cartoony. I was like, and like a light bulb went off. And I was like, well, if you don't mind cartoony, I can make a comic. So that's how it started. I just said, let's make a comic book. And so I did. And 11 issues later, still making a comic book.
I was going to say the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting there.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Carissa for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, posters, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got your fandom covered. You want to make sure you stop by the store if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is a website, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. Okay, so I have to ask you. You mentioned that you liked Ghost Rider. Did you like any other comics or various creators?
I liked Nightwing. I started with comics from the 60s of Batman and Robin. So I grew up with Dick Grayson, and I followed him through his career. You know, and when he became Nightwing, I loved it. I loved the costume. I loved seeing him. I thought it was awesome. I stopped collecting due to it was just too expensive back in the day. it just got so crazy. But he and Ghost Rider are probably the only two that I ever really dedicated. Like I would read other things from here and there. I love crossovers. So like anyone that crossed over with Ghost Rider or Nightwing, I would love to read. Like I love like the X-Men crossed over, Spider-Man crossed over. You know, there was always somebody that crossed Venom. Always somebody that crossed over. So I love crossovers. So I cannot wait. I will be doing crossovers with other indie creators and a little mini series. It's kind of going to be like Kingdom Hearts, where my characters are going to be using their weapon that they have. It's an angelic weapon with the power of souls, and it's going to jump them into other people's comics. And it's going to have Serafina and Draven searching for the four gems that will complete the angelic weapon. They don't know where the gems are, but their weapon acts as a gyroscope, which is why it has the circles around it. It's just missing one now. So no one can technically see that it's a gyroscope, but it is just only missing one circle. So they're going to jump into other indie comics, kind of like Kingdom Hearts, how you go into their world and you have to figure out or solve whatever's there. And then they continue on. So I'm very excited for that crossover because I think that'll be super fun. We're going to do Path of the Pale Rider. We're going to do Night Wolf. We're going to do Mary Machine Gun. And there's a bunch of awesome ones that fit. And Ken Hunt, who is the DC artist, he's actually writing his own comic too, a supernatural detective. So we're going to do a little crossover. So since my characters are hunters, they're going to run into each other. Cool. So yeah, it'll be really cool. And I'm really excited about that. And I can't wait to do that. So
this is probably not a very fair question to ask, but I'm just curious. Would you ever try your hand at a non-horror project?
No. Okay. It would always have to have, it doesn't have to be horror, but it would have to be supernatural. There has to be something in there. I did a fantasy one with somebody once with ice elves, and that was pretty cool, but they wound up, you know, mixing it with supernatural eventually, because I just have to have something. Yeah, so unfortunately, no, it's always going to be horror or supernatural or something like that. I'm so predictable, but yeah.
All right, last question here before we start wrapping things up here. Let's just, for pretend, Netflix options, Worthy Chaos. Who would you cast as Serafina and Draven?
So I would never trust Netflix with my stuff.
Well.
but if I had to pick actors, so originally there's two actors that I would allow to do it, even their voice. Cause my ultimate dream is to have an animated series. So for voice or actor, I would want, and a lot of people don't even know who he is Christian Kane from, he was an Angel, and he was Lindsay from Angel, Leverage, Librarians, or Jensen Ackles, of course, from Supernatural. And the only actress that I would allow, I'm sure there's others, but the only one that I focused on was Alana Tau, that was Joe from Supernatural. So I would love for her to do the voice or be in it and all that stuff. So, but it's such a long series, so it would kind of have to be animated, because it's just like anyone's going to be too old by the time this thing is done. And I want them to make a stipulation that you had to have at least guest starred in Supernatural, which is Christian Kane, Alana, Jensen, Jared, to do one of the voices. Kind of like Harry Potter, you have to be born in the UK to star in the movie. So yeah, there's the dream right there.
All right.
And Jared does have my book, by the way. So, you know, from Supernatural, Sam from Supernatural, I gave him one of my books a week ago at the con. So he does own one of the hardcovers.
Okay, cool. There you go. Yeah. Maybe he'll read through it and be inspired and say,
never
hey,
know. Yeah.
You never know. That's right. You gotta take your shot when you get a chance.
That's right.
There you go. All right. Well, Carissa, let's talk about future projects, maybe some appearances. You said you were just at a Comic-Con a few weeks ago. Social media, Kickstarter info, website, the whole shebang. Let's get run that down for the folks at home.
So the only con I know I will be at every year is Nashville Comic Con. It's the first weekend in July. It's at Nashville Fair Gardens or Tennessee Fair Gardens in Nashville. I love it. And they know me there because I'm local, so they know me. I might do Knoxville once in a while, but I'm not as thrilled there. And then to find me, I'm on Kickstarter, Worthy Chaos. We either have something in pre-launch or something live. There is never not something on Kickstarter. So just search Worthy Chaos and it pops right up. We do have a website, worthychaoscomics.com. We have the hardcover on there now. We will have the new Anubis plushies there. That's the only one we'll have. The other ones are limited edition, handmade, and all that fun stuff. There are issues on there. There are PDFs you can download. We have our own song, by the way. So there's our song that you can download. It was written, performed, and sung just for our characters. The lyrics are based on our characters. Our second book does have a new song, which will hopefully, I'm waiting for it to be done. I have not heard it yet, but it'll be hopefully done by January 8th, the next book. The videos that you listen to on any of the Kickstarters, though, that's the music, the background music of our song. And then you could find, we have a Facebook group called Worthy Chaos Redemption. There's about 700 or so members in there. It's supportive of all creators. So if you have a podcast or if you have a Kickstarter or you're an artist with commissions, anyone can post in there and show other people what their work is and links and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I'll probably be on as many podcasts as I can be because that's the only way I get my story out there. Like I said, I did 140 this past year. And I'm still not used to it. So you think I would be, but no. But yeah, that's, you could follow. Oh, and Twitter, we have 5,000 followers on @worthy_chaos. And we are, you could search anywhere. We've got something somewhere. Just search Worthy Chaos. We pop up. So.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. Make it simple for the folks out there.
Yeah. Worthy Chaos. Yeah.
All right. Well, Carissa, thank you very much for sitting down and sharing your story with us and chatting with me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was great.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Carissa Grant, talking about her comic, Worthy Chaos. It's a great project. You really need to check it out. Just go over to Carissa's social media outlets for Worthy Chaos. Check it out. Go visit the Kickstarter for issue 8, which is out now, and it's up and it's running. Get yourself some cool plushies or whatever merchandise you want. And I want to thank Carissa for reaching out to me and seeing if she could come on the show, because I love it when people reach out to me. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I'm being lazy and I don't mind booking my own guests, but when somebody has that much passion, I know it's going to be a good episode. And I think that this one was a great episode. And so I'd like to thank Carissa for coming on and spending some time chatting with me about her project, Worthy Chaos. All right, maybe you want to get in touch with me because you have a comment about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, it's real simple. You can reach me a variety of different ways. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP, and that's one way to get in touch with me. You can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Or you can leave me a message over on Facebook, Instagram, or Threads. Just search for @PVDcast. And maybe you want to let some folks know about this great podcast. Well, there's a couple different places where you can hear it. First off, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the easiest way to get every single episode, but it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is put into your favorite podcasting outlet's search engine, PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And I need you to do me a favor. If you are listening through one of those podcast apps or outlets, please rate and review. It drives me up the charts. It's very important. You don't have to write a big giant book or anything, just a simple, hey, great episode, or I liked it a lot, or whatever. But rating and reviewing, super important. And hey, while you're doing that, you might as well subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. Well, there's even an easier way to hear each episode every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. You can listen to a live Facebook broadcast that I do. As I said, it's another easy way to hear each weekly episode. But there's still one final way that you can check it out, and that is by going to the fine internet radio station called Croc Radio, CROC Radio, out of British Columbia. Every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the PVD cast is featured there. And I appreciate the opportunity to be on the radio station. And I urge you to not only check out the PVD cast, but all the other fine shows on Croc Radio. That is, again, CROC Radio out of British Columbia. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once more for checking out this episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.